In the film Charlie Wilson's War, we first meet Texas Representative Charlie Wilson, played by Tom Hanks, naked in a Vegas hot tub with last month's centerfold, a coke-snorting producer, and a couple of strippers. Later, back at the office, one of six voluptuous secretaries with plunging necklines brings Charlie a cup of coffee filled with scotch. The writer Douglas Adams once posited that if you wanted to make a mountain invisible, paint it bright pink. Wilson seems to live by this rule. The more audacious he is, the less people are able to believe it, notwithstanding a current ethics probe led by Rudy Giuliani, who's making Wilson's seat warmer by the minute. Also in Wilson's favor is the fact that he's in the unique position of having few enemies and lots of friends. As he puts it, "I'm from the only state in the union that doesn't want anything. That means I get to vote yes a lot." Though a confirmed playboy, Wilson is surprisingly canny about global politics. He catches a news story about Afghanistan and demands to be briefed. For over a decade, the Mujahideen have been fighting the occupying Soviet army against monumental odds, mowed down daily by Soviet attack helicopters impervious to primitive small arms fire. Paradoxically, many analysts posit that the Soviet Union is actually near broke, and Afghanistan is what's bleeding them. If this is the only place during the Cold War where anyone is actually shooting Russians, Wilson demands, what are we doing to support them? He finds that the CIA's entire response team is exactly three people, with a budget of zero. When Wilson almost flippantly doubles the entire Afghanistan budget, still only a token amount, he's paid a tentative and suspicious visit by one of the CIA guys, Gust Avrakatos, Philip Seymour Hoffman. This is the third juicy role in a year for Hoffman, who plays Gust like a blunt, gruff, slovenly Wilford Brimley, brilliant but stifled by bureaucracy, starving to be put to good use. Is it possible that Wilson can actually get Gust's team the millions and millions it would take to beat the Russians? Well, these things are more a matter of influence and pressure than anything, the film argues. Joanne Herring, a society dame played by Julia Roberts, whose cheekbones have never been more classically defined, is not above reminding Charlie that she is the sixth richest woman in Texas. Moreover, by appealing to the God and country wealthy right wing, she has a virtual stranglehold on local fundraising. After she and Charlie meet and instantly seduce each other into bed, she sits before the makeup mirror, tweezing her eyelashes with a safety pin millimeters from her eyeball. A congressman ignores a woman like this at his peril. Joanne has contacts high up in the Pakistani government who can run the arms smuggling operation. Gust has Israeli and Arab contacts who can supply the weaponry, and Wilson sits on a committee that rubber stamps millions of dollars in foreign investments, and just like that, the plan comes together. Screenwriter Aaron Sorkin, who wrote the first few years of the television show The West Wing nearly single-handedly, cranks out such rapid-fire dialogue, exchanges between characters often sound like a schizophrenic talking to himself, wandering down endless hallways, babbling statistics from Wikipedia. But at his best, when he's focused and impassioned, Sorkin can write the genuine zingers upon which the cynical and worldly director Mike Nichols thrives, and which are so rare in modern Hollywood scripts that Nichols hasn't been enticed to work in years. Sorkin and Nichols don't stint on the blowback from what Charlie Wilson did. When the U.S. failed to rebuild Afghanistan's infrastructure and frankly just dumped the country like a bad date after the prom, Islamic extremists poured in, the Mujahideen became the Taliban, and the weapons fell into the hands of Al-Qaeda, who had a whole new reason to target us. But there's a point being made that's even more important than the cycle of history. Yes, the U.S. system of government is hopelessly inept, corrupt, and moribund. And yet, there are these strange and fleeting moments when a person who really cares about something is in the right position to make significant change. That's not only encouraging, I think it's probably true. Reviewing movies for WFIU, this is Peter Noble Kuchera.